fucking awesome. Come on, it's gonna be fucking awesome.
You know the words.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
That's it, see.
It's gonna be fucking awesome.
Booyakasha! It's me, your boy, Jesse Blaze Snyder, the coolest geek alive. I don't know what I'm doing. Hey guys, how's it going? It's Saturday. I am recording a little later than I usually would. Usually I record these on Fridays, and then I release them on Saturdays. But it's actually Saturday, and I'm in an Airbnb near my my ex-wife's house because it's my daughter's birthday and she's doing a play this weekend, and I wanted to be close so I could see her show every week. I saw her last night. She made me cry. She's so good. She's so talented. She's just playing, you know, a background performer right now because she's 15. She's I don't even think she's a freshman. She's like the year before the freshman. They have an interesting high school over there where like the kids come in and mix with the older kids a little sooner than in other high schools. But she was great, and my daughter has such a beautiful voice. She's got like this, she has seriously like the princess voice from the, like the princesses in the movie Snow White, like a really fluttery and like powerful and beautiful in this like, you know, I'm a singer, I write music, but like I can't sing how she sings, you know, like this fluttery, beautiful thing. It's great. I'm so proud of her. So anyway, I'm going to see her again tonight, and I'm going to see her again tomorrow. And it's her birthday weekend, and I love her so much. Anyway, this feels like I've been waiting to do this because I have. John Carter. I watch this movie all the time. I put this movie on like every 2 years. Consistently, I've watched it at least a dozen times now, since it came out. John Carter is such an interesting one. There's two movies that came out around the same time, and I'm actually probably going to do, this other one next. The Lone Ranger and John Carter that got caught up in just like a storm of weirdness and, you know, for different reasons. In the case of The Lone Ranger, he was one of the first victims of DEI culture and the shifting tide. You know, there was all this nonsense made about Johnny Depp playing a Native American character. And it was really coming on the heels of him successfully having done Captain Jack Sparrow and then having done the Mad Hatter. And they're like, well, does he really need to do one more? And people kind of took the bait on that one. And Gore Verbinski's Lone Ranger, which is fucking awesome, got tanked because of that. And there was other things going on too that had a hand in the John Carter situation, some of the more specifics for John Carter. Because also this like goes into like how it's being promoted, if they continue to promote it, you know, if there's a bunch of controversy, sometimes they'll stop promoting it. There's a lot of different factors, but John Carter was a really weird one. One, it shouldn't have been called John Carter. It should have been called John Carter of Mars. They got nervous about the Mars epitaph after they released a movie called Mars Needs Moms, which sucked, that nobody liked. So because Mars Needs Moms sucked and bombed, they were like, oh no, maybe it's the curse of Mars. And if we tell people that John Carter's from Mars, people are going to hate it. No, we hated it because of all the aesthetics that like you put with Mars. And like, it was, ugh. Anyway, there was a lot of different titles that they could have gone with for this thing. Now, this is a classic, one of the most classic series, a science fiction comic book series. I don't even know what you would call it. It's like the serials. It's one of the longer running and oldest, best known science fiction mythologies. You know, if you're a Star Wars fan, so much of your favorite things from Star Wars or Dune were inspired by John Carter of Mars.
And there are a lot of other books and a lot of other ways it's been published. So they could have used the title Princess of Mars. Granted, a lot of it all basically revolves around Mars, and they were scared of Mars. But the title John Carter just didn't. I mean, John Carter, you know, he could be fucking anybody in like this day and age. He could be like somebody who likes to dance. It's really like John Carter just didn't say enough. And their promotion of it wasn't enough to get people. But this movie is directed by Andrew Stanton. And if you are a Pixar fan, and it's written by Andrew Stanton. And I'm not super familiar with the, like, I didn't read those comics, but I'm familiar with them, but I didn't read them myself. And from what I know of the series, it's a very loving and cool, adaptation of the source material. To me, obviously, Andrew Stanton loves this material, which is why he chose it in the first place. This was his first film coming off of directing animation for Pixar. And he has worked on so many like incredible things, like as a writer. You know, the original story and screenplay by for Toy Story 4 is him. For Finding Dory, the original story by, the screenplay by is him. John Carter, screenplay by him. Toy Story 3, story by him. Bernie video, he wrote the story for the Bernie short. The Wall-E original story by, screenplay by Wall-E, he wrote. Finding Nemo, original story by, screenplay by, he wrote. Of course, my favorite is Monsters Incorporated, screenplay by, fucking yes. Monsters Incorporated is one of my favorite, of all time. But Toy Story 2, A Bug's Life, and the original, Toy Story as well. And then, you know, as a producer, he's worked on, you know, so many of these big Disney movies like Inside Out and Brave and, you know, ones that he didn't, write, but he executive produced, you know, Monsters University and Up and Presto and Ratatouille and some of the ones that he also wrote and did things on. But as a director, you know, it's a smaller pool because of what he could do. Right now, he's been directing some episodes of Three Body Problem, apparently. I've been hearing that show's great. No wonder Andrew Stanton's working on it, and he's incredible. But interestingly, he did a show more recently for Apple TV called For All Mankind. Of course, Apple TV's been trying to get people who are really talented, and he is. Apparently, he worked on Legion, the TV series, which I didn't know that. And a show called Tales from the Loop, which I never saw. But he also worked on some Better Call Saul, and he worked on some Stranger Things. And he directed Finding Dory. He directed Finding Nemo. He directed Wall-E. He directed John Carter. And he directed A Bug's Life. I love A Bug's Life. But granted, A Bug's Life rips off Three Amigos pretty good. But but anyway, this dude was one of the members of the Pixar Brain Trust. The inspiration for the Marvel Brain Trust, which is now defunct thanks to Kevin Feige, they had all their most brilliant people from Pixar working in this Brain Trust, and you know, led by Lasseter, but Peter Docter and Andrew Stanton and Brad Bird and other brilliant people of the Pixar staffing. Pixar, basically, it's all like the writers, directors of like their major movies, but these people have proved themselves to be brilliant. And Andrew Stanton really proved himself to be brilliant. And, you know, he came to do this live action, and it ended up like blowing up in his face as like a live action thing, even though it shouldn't have. I think the biggest misstep besides the title is perhaps the lead. He's just a bit less than awesome. And I like that guy. He was on Friday Night Lights, I think. I used to like that show, too. I forget what the actor's name is. I'll pull him up in one second. I have all of the things up here. John Carter. Taylor something? but he is, you know, he's not a charmer. You know, he's not a Mel Gibson or a Paul Newman or a Robert Downey Jr. or a Ryan Reynolds. I mean, Ryan Reynolds is like too jokey for this role. And I mean, and he really does work for the role. Taylor Kitsch, that's his name, Taylor Kitsch. And I mean, I love the movie. So like, I'm not like sitting here like bitching about it at all, but I think maybe to some degree, he's not viewed as like quite leading man enough. This movie works. This movie, you know, the story and the stuff is amazing. The lady Lynn Collins, who plays the princess Deja Thoris, and, you know, Deja Thoris is like, you know, just major, the princess of Mars, very major, linchpin of this universe here. And wow, did they just cast somebody just magical? The lady who plays Deja Thoris, she is beautiful. Just like striking in the best way. You know, she just is convincing as this princess. You know, like there's something that they did with Mary Jane Watson in the Spider-Man movies, where they keep missing it. Like, you know, the MJ in the new movie, it's not Mary Jane. Mary Jane is this supermodel. And when the door opens and it's her, he had been expecting something not great, and it ends up being the greatest thing possible. And guess what? She likes him. Like, that's the whole thing with MJ. She was this pleasant surprise in a deep and difficult world that Spider-Man has. And she's somebody that keeps it light and keeps it fun and helps him to weather these storms and still be able to come back to something great with her. It's awesome. I'm thinking about my own relationship with my redhead. Yes, it's awesome. In this context here too, with the Princess of Mars, you know, like the depiction of her in the books, you know, she's just this perfect princess. And you need that archetype, you know, you like that Mary Jane being like this hideous thing in the video game that they made recently. It's like, I'm sorry, that's not the character. Characters like that do exist. Yes, we should treat those characters with respect. But don't go and ruin a character. Like, the point of the character is that she's a supermodel. She's out of his league. She must be out of his league, Spider-Man. And in the same case for here, for John Carter, she's got to be out of his league. And like, there's this moment where he's like posing to her, oh, you know, I'm like this guy from the backwoods, Tennessee or Virginia, you know, like, and she's this, and the dichotomy is so important because that's what makes scenes like that work between them. And, you know, I'll give you the basic premise. I don't want to like spoil too much of this stuff, but I mean, like, the movie's fucking awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. And, essentially when a Earth person goes to Mars, because the difference in the gravity and like the density of our bones and shit, they have superpowers like the early Superman. I can leap a tall building in a single bound and super strong, you know, whatever. So on Mars, John Carter of Earth is a Superman. And this guy was already like this crazy badass cavalryman. With the movie opens with this great scene with Bryan Cranston trying to capture him to bring him into the military, but he doesn't want to come back. Like, they're trying to like coerce him into rejoining the ranks because he's so deadly. But he's very reluctant to be a part of the military. You know, he's just people just get hurt and like people die. Like, he's just over it. He's like, I understand that I'm good at this, so they keep bringing me back to do it, but like, I don't want this anymore. But of course, he ends up getting pulled to Mars through these bad guys, these creepy bad guys, as played by Mark Strong as the main one, you know, who you see. And Mark Strong, he's so great. You know, he's like the best part of that stupid Green Lantern movie. I forget what these fucking things are called. The Fern, I think. I'll probably see it written or have it pop in my head sooner than later. But Mark Strong kills as like the head representative of this race of super intelligent beings who exist in between reality and the dimensions and can turn into anybody and have like this super high technology. And they use this technology to travel between worlds. And basically John Carter ends up kind of getting the drop on one by accident, kills one, has this thing, repeats what the guy says by accident, just like sort of like saying what the guy was saying, and disappears. The guy was trying to bamf himself back to Mars, and instead, John Carter gets bamfed to Mars. So the movie takes like a little second to like, you know, it plays with time, and it does some really interesting things. It sets up so much, like to do so much more, and I would love to go back to this world. It's so good. So help me make a fan base for John Carter, because it's so good, and I would love more. Like it's fucking awesome. These omnipotent beings with bad plans for everyone, but they're so powerful. They're so powerful. It's scary, and I love that. I mean, just like the basic bit of like their existence, and that they can show up basically at any time and look like anyone, and take control of people and various things, and they're, you know, trying to twist and move things in various ways. But John Carter comes along as like sort of a savior figure to this planet, and that's what the movie's about, you know, him coming in and making this world a better place, and changing it, and he's got a cute dog that runs around really fast, and you know, he makes good friends with these alien bug people, and all that storyline's great, and the special effects are awesome. There's a great bad guy performance by the lead actor from The Wire, one of my favorite shows of all time. Eventually, I'll do a big episode of on The Wire and why that show's so great, especially for writers. Man, if you're a writer, watch The Wire, all 5 seasons. Dominic West, he plays the bad guy Sab Than, and he's awesome. He's awesome. He's not always so awesome. His accent, like, you know, like he's like the weakest part of the fucking Wire. His Boston accent or whatever. And I don't know. I don't always find him perfectly cast. But in this one, I believe he's really perfectly cast. Willem Dafoe actually plays the leader of those bug people that I was telling you about. And Willem Dafoe's vocal performance is awesome. Thomas Hayden Church plays like a dissenting voice amongst the bug people, and his voice work there is great as well. The guy who plays Deja Thoris's father, King Tardos Morris, he's great as Siren Hinds. And there's just like a ton of great character actors who like you've seen in like tons of these movies because they like can embody the thing. James Purefoy plays Kantos Kan. He's really great. It's just an awesome movie. I mean, like, you know, it's like when I like it so much, I just kind of want to expound about everybody and how everybody's so great. But the love story's great, and the action's awesome, and the character designs are really cool, and it's super pulpy. And the thing that makes it is the story. It's just the most foundational aspect of this thing is great. The story is fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's all I have to say. I've watched it a dozen fucking times like since it came out, and I've just sort of like sat dumbfounded. Like, I don't understand why more people don't love this movie. Like, go, even if you like watched it at the time, or like go give it another chance. It's good. It's so fucking good. It's good. And you should watch it. I love you guys. We're trying to grow the show. I'm gearing up to episode 100. I think this is episode 93 or 94, one of those. So we're getting close to episode 100. I'm going to do some special stuff for the show. I don't have it like all worked out just yet. I'm really excited to say that all of my issues of King of Kings, the book that I put out through Kickstarter a little while ago, have gone out. Except to a few people who we didn't have their address. If you happen to be listening to this and you're like, I didn't get mine, it might be because we didn't have your address. So send me your address. You can send it directly to me, jesseblaze@jessesnyder.com, as you all can do that. Please, comment and subscribe and all those things to this podcast, as well as my music podcast every Monday night, All Your Favorite Bands Suck. This Monday night, I'm doing a band called the Detroit Cobras, who I just discovered, who are awesome. And I wouldn't normally do a band that I just discovered, but their singer died 2 years ago. And I was like, all right, I'm doing an episode on her. Also, my new book is it's not launched yet. So like the it's going to be 30 days of a pre-campaign where there's just a link. If you go onto Kickstarter and you put Fucking For Our Future number one, it should come up and you can follow the campaign and it's going to go live in like 30 days. But it is hysterical. It's hysterical. It's very adult, except it's not sexual, even though it uses sex to sell the book. It's got like these super sexy covers and like all the artwork is really beautiful and like sexy, but the story is just, it's just funny and fun and really interesting and intellectual, honestly. I think people are really gonna like it. I'll talk about it a little bit more in the future, just when I'm feeling it, but if you're interested in signing up for the link to be told when it comes out, just go to Kickstarter and type in Fucking For Our Future number one and you will see a thing come up for it. Anyway, what else do I have to say? I don't have anything else to say. I love you guys so much. You're the best. And I hope you guys will join me again next Saturday when I do another Coolest Pick. I'm thinking that I'm going to be doing Lone Ranger. And again, this coming Wednesday for another fucking awesome episode of The Coolest Geek Alive. Rock and roll. You've been listening to Coolest Geek Alive with me, your host, Jesse Blaze Snyder. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe for more excellent geek culture content. Thanks for listening. It's my favorite part! Talking some shit. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Living the shit. My voice is gonna be fucking awesome. Food in our mouth. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Getting them out. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Tell all your friends. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Call right our text. It's gonna be fucking awesome. Raising the bar.
Fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. It's gotta be fucking awesome. Just wait. You'll see. You'll all see.
You'll all see. The Podcast Playground. Hooray!